In the beginning,
God created
the heavens and the earth. I'm not standing here to tell you anything that you haven't heard before. Peter says in his letters, I've written them to you as reminders to stir you up to wholesome thinking. And that's what these words should do for us this morning. Stir us up to wholesome thinking. In the beginning, God created everything. What does that mean to you? So what? This is the first thing, as I commented, that God says. He's written us a vast book. It takes most of a year or so to read it, if you just read a little each day. It's a big book, and this is what he begins with. God created everything. If I go up to Central Milton Keynes to buy a light bulb or something, and I find the place just jam-packed with people, I say, oh, why is it so busy up here? I say, well, it's that season. We buy lots of stuff. We buy lots of food. We give presents. That's why it's busy. Oh, okay. It's part of human nature to want to know the reason why. If you go home and you to your house and you find when you get in that the contents of all the drawers and cupboards have been spilled out on the floor, you won't just say, well, what a mess. You say, why? Who's done this? You want to know why. And God shines his light into our lives and into our world where there's so much darkness and confusion. And he tells us why. The why, the reason, the meaning of everything. He says, I made it all. Life is not random. Life is not by chance. Life is not just a battle for survival following some chance explosion which somehow made everything. God says, no, I am your creator. I made you and everything in the universe. Have any of you ever dealt with a four-year-old who is at that stage when they say, why? And they pick on something very every day. You know, why has a cow got four legs? They say to you, well, so it can walk. Why does it need to walk? Well, so it can get to the grass, so it can eat the grass. Why does it eat grass? Well, so it can grow big and strong. Why does it grow big and strong? And eventually the child reduces you to this sort of pulp where you have to tell him what he's looking for. And you say, cows grow big and strong because God made it that way. If you've had that experience, I had it with our roughly four-year-olds. They kept saying, why? They want to know the foundation of the universe. Well, why are there cows? Why do they eat grass? And if you go deep enough, the answer is always the same. And I hope when you give the answer, you don't say, well, I don't know, love. I hope you say, because God made it that way. God made it all. One of the best questions I remember from a child was this. He said, why is there something rather than nothing? Oh, that's quite good for a little one. And the answer is the same. The reason there is anything is because God made it all. And that's not what everyone is saying around you, is it? They're looking for another basic foundation. Well, what is life? That's not their answer. Somehow they won't have that. And they come up with answers like this. They say, well, life's a grind. It just goes round and round. So I'll try and be happy in it. Or life's a race. It's a competition. So I'll try and have more than other people, more money, more security. I'll try and be more popular. I'll try and be better. Be in front of the race. Some people don't do so well in the race. Many of us don't. We're not at the top, are we? And we conclude, well, life's just a grim battle. It's a cruel world out there. And your job is to fight your corner to survive. What a miserable, lost existence people have when they come up with these answers. Christian, I said to a Christian, how are you doing the other day? He said, well, I'm surviving. I said, oh, no. I was quite polite, but I said, you know, can't we do better than that? Can't we do better than survival? God's foundation is that there is a God and that he created everything. A God who is three uncreated persons. The Father was there. We're told in John 1, are we not? Without the Son, the Lord Jesus, nothing was created that was created. And the Spirit was brooding over the face of the waters. There is a glorious harmony, a unity at the foundation of the universe. A God of power who at his... It's lovely that he made the stars also to give light on the earth. And I don't know if you've seen these amazing pictures of the from these super telescopes of the galaxies out. And God just said, boom, let it be. He made the stars also in a moment. That's the sort of God who is at the foundation of the universe, a God of power, God of generosity. He says, let the sea teem with creatures. Let's not just have one fish. One fish would be quite good. One blade of grass is wonderful. God said, no, fill the place. And then once it's full, let them be fruitful and multiply. Let there be more and more. A God of generosity lies at the foundation of the universe in which we live. A God of creativity, variety, of wonder, of power, of goodness. Christian folk, you have something at the foundation of your life that the man out there who says, well, life's just a grind. You live in a different world of thinking and being. And it's a created world. It's not just stuff to accumulate and to compete with. It's called into being by the Word of God. It's lit up, illuminated by the light of God. It's filled with the generosity of God. It's ordered by the wisdom of God. We turn on the light switch and these lights come on. You turn on the tap and water comes out. Society, organization, infrastructure. Do you know God invented all that? Not just clever people. God said, let's have a world which is big and organized and united and full of... Let's have 7,000 billion people, not just one blade of grass, not just one man. I'll start with a man and a woman, and I will fill the world with billions of people, organized by countries, by families, by workplaces. God lies behind all that. Not randomness, not competition, not economic forces. God is the foundation of all created things. So when somebody comes along with this idea called atheistic evolution, and they say, well, if you go back far enough, I guess there must be something. It must have all gone pop one day, whatever all of it was, and never mind what happened before that, and everything by chance, it kind of came together, and your father was a monkey, and your grandfather was a frog, and your great-grandfather was a piece of slime, but you shouldn't behave like that. It is so damaging. It disdains the God who made it all. It devalues and takes away the dignity of all that God has made. Everything God has made, whether it's the lights and the society. When you see hundreds of men in their yellow coats on the side of the motorway mending it, do you ever think, well, God organized that? I never did for years. And then one day I was looking at all these men and I thought, well, God has organized society. God is clever. God's made everything. He's put it together. He holds it together. And you take this idea that it all just went pop and bang and then over millions of years happened by chance. You turn man into an animal. You take away all dignity and purpose and meaning. So if somebody came through that door with a big bomb and started putting it under the floorboards, we just kind of let him get on with it, say, well, things like that happen in churches, you know. I'm sure Martin or someone else in charge would say, We don't want anyone blowing up the foundations, thank you very much. Get out, I'm going to call the police. But people lay this bomb under the foundation of society and of all thinking and of all meaning and all purpose and hope. And they say, yeah, just chance, evolution, no God. It's designed to blow up the foundations. Because in the beginning, God created everything. He created you. I hope that's a comfort to you. You're there for a reason. God knows you. He made you. He is interested in you. He's bigger than you. He can look after you. But there's darkness, isn't there, all around us. That foul father of lies came along, Genesis 3, verse 5, and he said, well, God has said, but you should rebel, you should disobey, and you should become like God. Chuck out God as creator. You can be the center. Sounded attractive. But it was a cruel lie. And on that day, death came into the world. And that man who says, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be the center. He lies fallen in the dust. Almost beyond remedy. It makes man desperate. Trying to be, how do you fancy looking after 7,000 million people and all the infrastructure of the world for a day? You wouldn't stand a hope. It puts man into an impossible position. And so desperate men, when you bring the light of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to them, they do one of two things. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, they treated me this way, they'll treat you that way. Either like animals, they put their claws into you and they persecute you and they say, we won't have it. We won't have this God stuff. It's a load of nonsense. Or some of them will say, oh, wow. And God will open their hearts. I'll say, that's the answer. This is what gets me out of this ridiculous, lost, hopeless position in which I find myself. The person who says, I'm going to be like God, is in a desperate position. I don't know if any of you grew up in a big family and if you or one of your siblings acted like God. You imagine in your family, you say, well, I'm God, you know, the whole world exists for me. You're going to find an awful lot of people disagree with you. Derek, you are not the center of the world. My wife is going to say to me, or my children, or my siblings. You are at odds with everyone if you say I'm at the center of the world. Constant frustration, trying to be God. You're not built for that. You're built as a dependent creature to trust. You're living a life of folly and darkness if you're pretending to be God. It's a nonsense. It's a pretense. A man who says, I'm made in my own image. I've got my own agenda. He descends to the level of an animal. Because a man is made in the image of God. You take away God, you take away creation. You become like a vicious creature, just trying to sort of climb up other people to get to the top of the heap. Paul, writing to Titus, uses these words. He said, we were being hated and hating one another. Is that the business world out there? Is that the gossip world out there? The world was made full of God and light and goodness. And man has gone in search of many schemes. The beginning was full of God, his person, his purpose, his order, his power, his ways, his fullness. I think there's about 66, roughly, million people, something like that, isn't it, in the UK? And if you read the reports of how many people, how many of us are on tablets for anxiety, for depression, for hopelessness, for aimlessness, very, very common. Now, sometimes there are physical causes and special reasons, but much of it is no more than this. That people are like moles, The light shines. They dig into the darkness. And people are running away from God. And we're designed in God's image to live in trust of Him. And nothing is going to make a man more miserable and anxious and depressed and hopeless than that. God's word says this: they suppress the truth about God by their wickedness. That's Romans chapter 1. Paul says, doesn't he, you also were among them. It's Ephesians 2. You've done this too. You've suppressed the truth about God. God is the king. He made everything. You say, no, no, I'm the boss. I want to be the boss. I want to be the center. The truth of God, that God is there and that He's made everything, is as plain as day. God says in His word, Romans 1, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and deity, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what He has made. So people are without excuse. God has written it all over the universe. I talked to a young man yesterday, doing a degree in philosophy. I said to him, how are you getting on? Have they told you the answers to the big questions yet? Why are we here? Who made us? Where are we going? He said, well, no, actually, it's a bit of a dull course. They're discussing, remember what it was, the difference between the mind and the soul and the brain and the body. And he said, it's really dull. I said to him, why don't you answer the big questions? You need God. I told him one or two of the things I'm telling you today, but one of the things he said was he was wondering whether he believes in God or not. I said, you've got your thinking the wrong way out. I said, you're up here and God is down here, and you're saying, does God believe or not? I said, you've got it the wrong way out. God is up here and you're down there, and God should be saying, do I believe in Ben or not? People's thinking is inverted. God is this sort of little thing, this idea, this helper, this resource in my great world. Our thinking is upside down. What disorders of the mind are all around us. Because we don't realize that God is very great and very wise, and Derek is very little and very small. God's word says it's obvious and we're without excuse from what has been made, but we will not give God glory. And we will not give God thanks for what He has made. We had it in our hymns that the first thing God did on day one was to make light, so there would be brightness, clear-mindedness, clarity in the world. And what men need today, the people around you, is light. For Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the glory of God. What is so plain in what God has made, people are blinded to. So the Lord Jesus Christ came as the light of the world to bring us back to God. God, who said, light shine in darkness on day one, has made His light to shine in our hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us back. What's the verdict, says John? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John chapter 3. But there's hope. Just as the Spirit of God brooded over the darkness, the beginning of that first day, so He broods over the darkness of the lives of people around us, people among us, ready and willing and powerful to give us new hearts, to convict us of our sin, putting self on the throne instead of God, to convict us of righteousness, the right way of living, of judgment, that God is on the throne, He is the King, and ready to guide us into all truth. And God, who looked on His creation in those first days, and he saw just what was there. He said, yeah, that's really good. He looks today into your heart, and he sees what's there. And he sees what light is there, and what darkness is there. And just as God began the creation with the sun, so he rules it and holds it all together today. The world runs at his command, not for you. The world wasn't made for you. That's the sort of thing we say to little children, isn't it? But we need to remember it, to stir ourselves to wholesome thinking about as adults. The world was not made to give you a good time. It was made by Christ and for Christ, and it will culminate in Christ and the wedding with his blood-bought people. Not for you. God made the world, God rules the world with the Lord Jesus Christ today. You need to understand what lies at the foundation of this evolutionary atheism. It is a smokescreen. It's not a wonderful scientific theory. It's not scientific at all. Science is about observing things which are repeatable. If I pick something up and drop it, and I do that 1,000 times, and I say, oh, there's a thing called gravity. You can observe it, you can repeat it. Have you ever seen a monkey give birth to a man, or a frog give birth to a monkey, or slime give birth to a frog? Say to a 4-year-old, okay, I've got a pond with fish in it, and I let the sun shine and the water level goes down and down and down. What will happen to the fish? You say to the 4-year-old, he says, I know, they'll grow legs and they'll crawl out and they'll become frogs. A 4-year-old knows that that doesn't happen. This is not science. This is fiction. It's a smokescreen to avoid the big questions. This guy I was speaking to is supposed to be bright and at university. But I ask him the basic questions. I said to him what I say to him every time I see him. He's one of my relations. I say, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Have they taught you that yet at uni? Of course they haven't. He doesn't know the first thing about wisdom, but he's doing a degree in philosophy. Why are we here? Who made us? People need to answer those questions. It's a smokescreen for the heart. And the Bible puts it pretty succinctly. We will not have this man to rule over us. That's the issue. That's what the actor is really saying. The sort of puff of smoke of evolutionary atheism is just to hide the truth. Did you hear the story about that really tall skyscraper? Enormous skyscraper, and they spent months and months, and they dug the foundations, they put in all the reinforced concrete, and there it was, ready to put the skyscraper on it. Along came the builders, and they went 100 yards down the site, a nice sandy place. They said, right, and they started building this enormous skyscraper on the sand. Well, it's a story, isn't it? And Jesus told it. But that's what people are doing. They build on this ridiculous hypothesis. I am here by chance. My grandfather was a frog. And I don't really know where it came from or where it's all going. And then they build life on that in society. And worse than that, they say, but knowledge is evolving, you see. I know you thought it was smart to build over there, but we're up to date. We know. Knowledge is constantly evolving, and we have new information. We know we have to build here. And if you want to be modern, if you want to be in, if you're going to be with us, if you're going to be anything that counts in this world, you should build here. What a miserable way to carry on. That's what people are doing all around you. There may be a few of us in the church who believe that. And 1,000 people out there in Stony Stratford celebrating whatever's on the TV or whatever they're doing this morning. But they don't have a foundation. They don't have hope. They don't have light. And life, Madness is the new normal, you could say. Men exchange the truth of God for a lie, since they do not think it worthwhile to attain the knowledge of God and that He is the Creator. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. What is the result of building on the sand of evolutionary atheism? They become filled with every kind of wickedness, greed, depravity. This is Romans 1. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Is that happening? There are new ways of doing evil? Yeah. Every few months, someone invents a new one. Oh, let's drive a lorry through a crowd. That's a smart new idea. Let's defame people's characters on the internet. That's a new idea. Constantly, they invent ways of doing evil. This describes life around us. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know in their conscience that there is a God and that He will judge them, they don't just carry on. They say, well, okay, well, you old guys, you used to think that was bad, but we're going to pass a law to say that that's good. God made them men and women. Well, yeah, we're going to invent a third category. I'm a man-woman. I'm a woman-man. I'm a non-specific. They invent ways of destroying the foundations. And you have the answer. You easily think, well, I don't know what to say to these people. It's madness. They're in a different world. Well, you have the answers, and a lot of the answers are very simple. God is God. He made it all. He made you. You may not be able to sort of concoct some long speech to say to people, but you can say some very simple things. God is God, and He made everything. And you better find out about it, because He was at the beginning, He's going to be at the end. And one day He will judge you. You're going to die and stand before Him. Is this wonderful statement? In the beginning, God created. Is that your foundation? I trust that it is. And I'm just reminding you that it needs to be. It's a solid foundation. It's the truth. Is that how you start your day? You think, okay, it's Monday morning. What's Derek going to achieve today? How am I going to make Derek happy? How am I going to fulfill Derek? Is that how I begin my day? Is that how you begin your day? Put your name in there? Or do you say, hey, this is God's world. God made it. How can I serve God? How can I be God's son, God's person? Operate and serve in His world. Let that be your foundation. And tell your lost brother and sister and mother and father and son and daughter and friend and neighbor and workmate, guys, you're living a dark way, and there's light. And you can be rescued from the darkness. You can have a full life, a founded life, a life with meaning. With God as your center and your king, instead of pretending you can do it yourself. Jesus comes to rescue. He's the true light to rescue people from the darkness who've rejected their Maker and said, we will not have this God to rule over us. He's a glorious Savior. Is He your Savior? Your light, your salvation. And may it be so. May you rejoice afresh in having Christ as your Savior, God as your steadfast bedrock. May these precious words be your foundation for every day you remain as a visitor on this God's world with the 7,000 million other people He's put here. In His plan, in the beginning, God made it. He created everything. He created me. I'll ask Tim.